what is a test? What is a test? Like if you're in school and they give you a test, what is a test? See if you learn what was taught. We're helping you. Okay, we're working with you, remember? It's okay. You know, whatever you interpret for the deaf, we used to know Billy and Linda Ingham, and Billy was deaf and Linda was hearing. And so whenever he would speak, she would, like he would speak with a sign in his hands, she would interpret. Well, she, my wife said, she made him look smart. You know what I mean? Like the way, because the way she would do it, she would interpret it and make him sound smarter. And, you know, fix it. She would fix it, you know. Anyway, just reminded me. Case in point. What is the test? Our life's a test. What is a test? If you were in school, what is a test? An assessment of your knowledge. Okay, good. So, what are tests? Why are tests? What does it? Let's put it this way. Why are tests given? What'd you say? What'd somebody say? Because teachers hate students. Okay. Who are tests given for? Who are tests given for? Like, think about it in a school context. Why are tests given? What? Okay, what were you saying? Pass you on to the next grade. Okay, hang on, Jonathan. Get back up there. I get your car. Get back up. Here's your car. Okay. Can I have this one? No. Lady McQueen? Okay. All right. Here we go. What does a test do? Thank you. That like sums it up really good. I like the way you that did it. Okay. He said, tests are given to see if you can move on. Can I ask a question? When you come here and you hear the same thing over and over again, have you ever wondered why? Do you think I'm a broken record? Do you think it's because that's all I know? Right? It's okay. We got, you know, the straight man and the good cop, bad cop and all that. So anyway, so why do you think we keep saying the same things over and over again? You don't get to fail the test. You just get to keep repeating until you get it. Okay? What if I ask, this is a test. Here's the test. Now, let's back up. Why are the three reasons for this church? To know Jesus personally. Okay, wait a minute. You said one. Now I want somebody else. Number two, what's the second reason? I'm sorry? Living victoriously by hanging out with Jesus. What's the third reason for this church? Or goal? That's right. To love others to Jesus. Exactly. Now, in that context, Spencer, answer me this, okay? How did you experience God? How did you experience Jesus this week? How did God love through you this week? Who did He love through you this week? I'm asking. I'm sorry. This is a test. This is called, as Wayne said, your life. This is a test of your life. How did you experience God, Jesus, this week? How? You see, you come here, been coming here for a long time. How did you experience God this week? What happened with you and Jesus this week? Was there a you and Jesus this week? Here, I'm just going to read the questions. You tell me, okay? Pastor challenge here. Here we go. How did you experience God, Jesus, this week? Who did God love through you this week? How did He love them through you? How was Jesus real in you and through you this week? What is God doing in you personally? What is He showing or revealing to you? What is He teaching you? What is He dealing with you about? See, you're just going to, one of these is going to zero in on you. I mean, all of them are going to probably hit the nail on the head. But just pick one, or let God pick one. How are you cooperating with the Holy Spirit of God in your life on a daily basis? Give specific examples. What truth are you walking in? What truth is realized? Are you realizing and walking in? You see, coming here and being able to say the little sayings that I have, okay, so far, Spencer, Jason, I think I have like 176 or something like that, you know? Okay, to be able to, you know, we came to Grand Rapids back in 1989 to preach here the first time when we were traveling around the country preaching. And we came to a church, and Janaya, a little girl, went to go, I think she was a teenager, 12, 13, something like that, about ready to be put in the box. And she went and spent the night with this other little girl in the church. And the other little girl said, "You know what I know?" She goes, "What?" And she starts rattling off all my sayings. And she could say them real fast. It says all these sayings that I had back then. Now, so you can say all these sayings, just because you know it here, is it helping your life? How is your life different now than it was last month? Where is your relationship different now than a year ago? How are you walking? How are you improving? How are you getting closer to God? How are you getting more victory over sin? How are you getting more freedom? Where is the freedom in your life? Where's the victory? I'm asking because, people, I love you to pieces. You just keep coming here for the rest of your life. That's fine. I'll just keep loving on you, whatever. I'm going to love you right where you're at. I'm not mad. I'm not disappointed with anybody. I'm just asking. You know why? Because, for example, I've known this guy since he was smaller than me, you know, and now he's bigger than me, okay? Now, what I want to know is, I've known him all this time, like for 6 years, 6.5 years, okay? How is his relationship with Jesus a God, not me? You see me 2 hours a week or something, maybe 3 hours a week, but you have another 165 hours a week. What is his relationship like? Not just can he tell me stuff that he had up here. I got all your sayings, you know. But how is his walk? What happens, because these are a little closer, to when they move out? When they move out, mom and dad, now what are their choices? Where's Jesus in their life? I'm not talking about knowing right and wrong. I mean, that's important, but I'm talking about relationship. This is a relationship church. Where is the relationship? Where is that? Because it's got to start with mom and little one. And that interrelationship. Dad is going to be busier. God has women normally staying at home, taking care of kids, not always, but normally, spending that time. It's not so you could watch soap operas, you know? It's not just so you can hang out with the girls. It is because God has a call on your life. This world is going to hell in a hurry. Okay? People want to talk about the elections and all that and who's running and give all these ideas. My hope is not in the White House. My hope is in God's house. Okay? My hope is in Jesus Christ. That is who I'm focused on. People are going to come and go out of the White House. People are going to come and go in politics. They're going to change. They're going to do all this. When you read the last chapter of the book, how do you think it's going to, get to that point of turning out like that? Where the whole world is against God. So much so that they're killing you because you're of God. See, I don't know about Bosnia. I don't know about all the other countries. But like Tom wears a shirt or it's on his Bible cover or something and it says, this book is illegal in 38 countries in the world. You could get killed for having this book in different countries. I was offered a number of times, different times, but I remember there was a time where I got real close to going to China to smuggle Bibles in. If you're a Chinese and you try to smuggle Bibles into the country, you're a Christian in China trying to get Bibles into the country, they will take you, arrest you. They take the Bibles away. They arrest you, from what I understand, put you in prison, and many times you're never heard from again. In other words, they kill you or you are buried. You know what I mean? In prison. You don't never come out. So they try to get Christians from other countries like America to come there and smuggle Bibles in, because if I get caught smuggling Bibles in, we bring in suitcases full of Bibles. If they stop me and they go to take these away, they will just take them away, but they won't hurt me because I'm an American. But if you are a Chinese and do it, they will kill you. Do you understand? This is America, but this is not a Christian nation. There may be a bunch of churches that you see, but a lot of them are empty or half empty, or the people are empty. How often do you experience Jesus on the street? I'm asking you. How often do you experience Jesus at the grocery store or at the gas station? See, everywhere I go, people are experiencing God. Everywhere I go, I'm at a gas station, a lady's walking in with a cane, and she's like Patty or Tana's age, whatever, somewhere in there, and she's walking with a cane and having a hard time. And I walk in, I turn around, I look, so I held the door. And I just said, let's pretend we're friends. And then, so I held the door, and as she's coming in, I love that, let's pretend. I use it all the time. And she dropped something. No, another lady dropped something. So I reached over, picked it up. I don't even know what I said, because it's not like it's pre-planned, even though I may say some of the same things over and over. I don't say the same thing all the time. I don't know how it's going to happen. But somehow, God got loose to this lady. You know what? I think I just simply said, while I was holding the door, I said, let's pretend we're friends. I said, maybe it'll catch on. You know? Something like that. And she comes back out. So I said something. Oh, I know. I said, what happened? And she tells me about having surgery or something. I'm standing there. I had just already paid. I'm getting ready to leave. But God, compassion, because this lady has got this cane, and she's like a young lady walking, you know, with this cane, and my heart just like went out to her, right? So, there's all these people standing in line. She goes to stand in line, and I said, ma'am, how did this happen? And she tells me whatever I said, I don't know. And I said, ma'am, I want to pray for you. And I just started praying for her. And there's all these people standing there. They all look, they're embarrassed. They look away. You don't got to worry about you being embarrassed. They're embarrassed. They don't know what to do. They don't know God from a paperclip. Okay? And you start talking about God, they don't know what to do with it. But that individual, have you ever read in the Bible? Jesus talked to individuals over and over and over. He wasn't looking for the big crowd. I like it when the place is full wherever I speak. I've done it all over the country with thousands of people, and it's great. But guess what? On a daily, every day, all the time basis, hang on, hot dog, every day, I am talking to the individual. So I go to pray for the lady and ask Jesus to heal her, bring her under His blood, His protection, His provision, His healing. And said, thank you, Jesus. And I walked away. I went and pumped my gas because I had to fill my card when I was in there. I filled my card. Go out there, pump my gas. The lady comes out there with her cane. I see her, but I'm not. I've already did what I was supposed to do. She gets to her car. I'm like three or four pumps away. You know what I mean? Islands away. She, in her pain, walks over to me and says something like, I don't even know what she said, like, thank you, you know, you touched me or something. I don't know what she said. She said, have you ever read The Shack? She said, because that's what you're living. I said, no, ma'am, I've heard of it a bunch of times, but I've never felt like that's what I was supposed to do. I'm not saying it because I'm anything. I'm saying it because Jesus is in me, and He's busting to get out. Is He in you? Is He busting to get out? It's just coming to me, so I'm just going to say it right now. I was going to wait till we got down to Matthew 10:39, but I'm just giving you a thought. We got a building over there, and we've got people working on it, but it's our building, and we're going to be paying for it. Matter of fact, we already are paying for it. If God moves on your heart and brings it to your mind, Glenn, Rick, Judy, Roxanne, they could use your help. We need help over there doing that. God won't even let me go over there. I'm willing to go over there and do that. God says to me, stay away. Probably because I'd go in there controlling. I'd go in there with all my opinions and mindsets. And God's like, and one thing else He keeps telling me. And it has to do with everything else. Harb, you can't do it. Why? Because I want them to do it. And you're so used to doing everything. If you do it, they'll just sit and watch. He said, they're the body. They're supposed to move. So if it comes to you, realize we're all busy. Nobody's not busy. Are you busy? Or you got all the time, you just have a lot of time to sit around, then you ought to be coming. But if you're busy, you got to make time. If it comes, you just ask God, if it comes, do you want me to do it? If it comes to your mind, then make plans to get there. It's not ever going to be convenient. It's not ever going to work out just for you. Oh, I just have all this time and I'm going to just go over there. It's not going to work like that. You have to make time. Yes, sir. Right. Because what it is we hear the song, you won't relent until you have it all. What do you think He's after? Your money? Maybe we ought to do a shakedown when you come in. Okay? Is He after your money? Do we ever stick a plate in your face? He's not after your money. He's after your heart. He's after your life. He's after you. Uncle Jesus wants you. Okay. So what? God gives a test today. You ready? This is you. How did you experience God, Jesus, this week? Who did God love through you this week? See, You see, Shayla could say Hudson and Remy and Jackson and Janaya and Dudley and Nani or Misu, whatever. And because she went over there and was babysitting and loving on these kids. And when his own grandmother, who he loves to pieces, said to him yesterday, "Would you like to go with me?" And he normally says, "Yeah." And yesterday when he's with Shayla, he goes, "Where are you going?" She goes, "Well, I'm going to do some running and we'll go get something to eat." And he said, "Is it fast food?" And she goes, "Yeah," which normally he likes. And he goes, "No, I think I'll hang out with Shayla." He's 8 years old. Why? Because he was being loved on, and he loved because she loves these kids. See, she's been getting a lot of training at home because she's got all these other little kids to help mommy with. And see, God's developing her and training her, and she was loving. So she could say yes. See, I know Wayne, when he goes into people's home, Wayne is a tender, compassionate little guy. Okay? And I bet he could say, if he thought about it, and say, "God, who did I love this week?" And he's going to tell about some little old man or some little old woman or somebody that he did something extra for. Because he does that all the time. But you know what? God wanted me to bring this to your attention. To ask you, where in a reality is God in your life? Where is God living through you? Where are you and He hanging out? Who did God love through you? How did He love them through you? Who? See, I know that one right there and that one right there, probably him too. They helped Mercedes because they just came and loved on this little one and helped her. And I watch them. They all the time get up and go to help meet the little one's needs. That's love. That's laying your life down for another. That's God in you reaching out to somebody. Because all of us are basically selfish. So when you... Right? I'm sorry, I didn't miss that one, right? We're all basically selfish. So when we go to help somebody else, that's having a God consciousness. Okay? So how is your life... See, that's awesome. And that's where God is and wanting to do. But where are you today? Where were you yesterday? Where were you last month, a year ago? Where was your life? Did you ever see the movie Pay It Forward?
Yeah.
You think it had anything to do with God? On Friday, I had two lists of things to do. I was like on Thursday when I was putting the list together. God, how could I possibly get all this done in one day? And then on Thursday, by the way, I had made a trip to the other side of the state with Glenn to pick up carpet over in Milford, okay, which is the other side of the state toward Egypt, you know. And then on Friday, Janaya and Sue were going to take the two little kids to Sahara and Tempe to one of my daughters on the other side of the state. And I'm like, she tells me this Thursday night, and I'm like, why didn't you tell me? I would have just waited till tomorrow to take the carpet, you know, or gone to get the carpet. And then I could have taken the girls. We would have done it all in one trip. You know, it was the same daughter who has a business in Milford. So I'm like, we even saw her on Thursday. And so it starts snowing on Friday. You know, all that bad snow on Friday? And I'm like, I don't want my wife driving in this. You know, I want to protect her. And, you know, Janaya, who normally does the driving when they're together, being more like the tree she fell from, and she could do that. She's like, "Oh, it's kind of bad weather." And I said, "I'll drive them." You know, she says, "Oh, I'm not sure about all this. Maybe we ought to cancel this." And I said, "They're really looking forward to it, aren't they?" See, God puts on my heart. I go, "They're really looking forward to it, aren't they?" They'll realize I've got lists of stuff to do. But God's like, what's important here? Your list or could it wait? And do these little 3 and 5 or whatever year olds they are, kind of like when Tana said, I have a 3-year-old. I was thinking, you have an everything year old. You know? Almost. Okay? And kind of like when my kids were growing up, we had an everything year old. You know? It was like they were all, you know, we had so many of them. Here's these 3 and 5 year olds, and Sue and Janaya had the plan to take them, but it was like the weather was bad. Now, do I say, hey, I've got my list to do? I got to live by list? Schedule? Or is it about relationship? Is it about being sensitive to others' hearts and what they need? See, I didn't have to, when I was at the gas station, talk to that lady. I didn't have to hold the door. She was like 30 feet away. And I was walking in, and I could have just let the door go. It's like, no, hold the door. Okay, because God gave me that thought. The thought came to me. Did the thought come from the devil? Do you think the devil had me stand there and hold the door open? Every day you get thoughts. Where did the thought come from? Hey, I ought to go help out at the church. Well, you think the devil wants you to do that? People say to me all the time, a lady just said this week or last week, I bought a fish from some people or whatever I bought. It wasn't a fish, it was corals. And they go to church, and I was talking about God. And the lady said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She said, how do you hear from God? All of you want to know how to hear from God. Well, He talks to you all the time. Watch this. It's so simple. Did God make me? I can't hear you. Did God make me? Did He make... I'm sorry, Spencer. Did He make me in His image? Then God's a jabberjaws. Okay? Just like me. If He made me like Him, I talk all the time, like with Tana, or different ones of you, Glenn. Okay? Jabberjaws. You understand? He talks all the time. You have thoughts all the time. Now you got to recognize, where did the thought come from? Okay? How did God live in you this week? How is God living in you? How are you? Are you inviting Him? That's what Tanner was talking about. If God gives you the desire to do something, He tells you to do something, His ability, His power, His enablement is there when you say, yes, I will do it. He shows up and does it through you. I didn't love that lady. God loved that lady. Shayla, I love Shayla, but Shayla is like all of us. Shayla is going to be self-consumed, okay, selfish, but she helps Mom. She helps these little kids. I watched her this morning when she was just at our house. They invaded our house early this morning. I mean, you know, I'm used to nice and quiet in the morning before all y'all start showing up. Well, I just get out of the shower. I'm about to walk out and I hear like an invasion in my house. And like, did Nate come early? You know? Did he bring the whole crew early? I looked at the clock again. It was 8:03 and I'm like, what is that noise? I walk out there. Here's some of my grandkids and Shayla and Janaya, and they're all blah, 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 doing all this. And I watched Shayla with these little kids and she was taking care of them and mothering them and laying her life down and helping them, just like you were just doing a few minutes ago, and I watched you do it earlier. Because you know what? It's like you were listening. What I'm saying is, God wants us to learn how to do that all the time, so that we're living Him all the time. But to do that, it's laying our life down. You can't, yeah, you can have a list, but if God says, okay, can I interrupt it? Glenn says, he calls me, will you go with me to go pick up that carpet? I'm like, I don't want to do that. I already went over there. I already did that. Now we got to make another trip. I don't want to go over there. Okay, I'll pray about it. And God's like, you're going to do it. I'm like, no. What I'm saying is, you want to live Jesus. God revealed to me how to let Jesus live in me all the time. Only let Jesus live in me. God revealed to me how to do that. She said it earlier. What's blocking? Jesus from living in me? What's stopping the flow? When I was asking, how's God living in you? I'm not asking you to get up and boast. You know? I'm just saying, how is God living in you? I'm challenging you. This is a test for you. What? Turn to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. We're going to do some verses real quick and we'll be done. You ready? Proverbs 24:10. Oh, I better get my... Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint, if you fall, if you stop, if you quit, if you faint in the day of adversity and that when stuff's coming at you, then your strength is small. Do you ever go through a day where stuff is not coming against you, Jason? Yeah, I mean, do you ever go a day where when you drive, you only have green lights? where everybody's nice to you? Where everybody cooperates? Where the boss tries to serve you, Jason? Does it work like that? Well, when stuff comes against you, that's a test. How are you going to live? When something wants to interrupt your schedule, that's a test. Ask yourself a question. Is this about relationship or schedule? Right. And see, your whole life has been put on hold, and you, the nights we were over at your house doing Bible study for a couple hours or whatever, the whole time we're there, I'm watching y'all, and your whole time, every few minutes, y'all are holding her, you're focused on her the whole time, your whole life is laid down for her. That's what life is about. Other people. Remember? We got a sign around here. It's not about me. It is about Jesus, and He's all about the little pink seat. Okay? It's not about me. It is about Jesus. And He's all about Emelina. Do you get it? Do you get it? Because when it's about me, have you ever been in a restaurant or out in a public place and see these little kids that act terrible? Have you ever seen that? Stomping, yelling, screaming, I want, me, you ever seen them act like that? And the parents are giving them their way. You are hurting your kids when you spoil them. It's not about them. We need to teach them. It's not about them. And those kids are miserable. And whenever God leads me and equips me or fills me, and I go to deal with those little kids, they like parameters. They like to know what they can and can't do. I don't let them do what their mom lets them do. But the little kids like it. Because they don't have, if they need to know what their limitations are. I told you when Sue was growing up, she wanted to see if she mom would really give her whatever she wanted. So she mom said, "What do you want?" She said, "I want a hamburger." So her mom fixed a hamburger. She goes, "No, I don't want that. I want cereal." Mom said, "Okay, let me get you cereal." And she give her cereal. She goes, "No, I don't want that. I want a peanut butter jelly sandwich." So her mom fixed her. I'm like, dude. The very first thing, because that's how the kids were when I came along. And I'm like, oh no, we do that game. We're going to feed, we're going to cook one thing, and everybody's going to eat it. See the way my mother-in-law did, she cooked three different meals, or four different meals, because she had three kids and a husband. And she would cook different meals for them, and trying to give them everything they wanted. It made them miserable. It made them selfish. Right? It's not about us. It's about Jesus, and He's about others. It's about helping people. Okay? So Proverbs 24:10. What's the next verse? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means set apart God in your heart. Set apart, set Him apart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. People ask me, how are you doing? And I say, about excellent. And they say to me all the time, I hear this almost every day, about excellent? And I go into businesses and they say, what needs to happen to make your day excellent? I said, when I can see Jesus face to face, until then I'm about excellent. Do you ever have moods? Do you know what moods are? Attitudes or feelings. How are you doing today? I'm in a good mood. I'm sorry to hear that. I told you I was in a good mood. What do you mean? If you're in a mood, you're letting your feelings rule your life. Do you let people rule your life? Do you let people ruin your day or make your day? Do you like that? Do you like it when they ruin your day? No. So what if you didn't let them control your day? What if you had an excellent day no matter what they do? How? We got to learn how to live that way. I go in the bank every day, a certain bank, Huntington, right down here about a mile from here. And they ask me every day, how you doing? I'm doing about excellent. So every now and then God will say to me, tell them I'm doing terrible. So I walk in, and I do that with different people on the phone sometimes, people that I talk to all the time. And I'll say, they'll say, how you doing? I said, I'm doing terrible. You know what they say at the bank? I dare you to go with me. And here's what they say every time. They'll say, how you doing, Harvey? You know, welcome to Huntington. How you doing, Harvey? And I'll say, I'm doing terrible. And you know what their answer is? No, you're not. You're always doing excellent. Now, why do they say that? Because I don't have moods. I've not only got my own problems, I got yours. I do. I pray for you. I love you. I care about you. I am in tune as God brings you into my life, whatever way. I've got all these grandkids. I got all these kids. I'm married. I got problems. I got a cat that I got to worry about. I got fish and corals that I got and crabs that I got to worry about. I got customers. I want to be my own boss. Then don't start your own company. Because you have everybody as your boss then. Even the people that work for you sometimes seem to be your boss. Okay? So what I'm saying is, you have to learn, and that's where I'm trying to help you. You have to learn, I hope you, because you want to, you say you want to, I only want Jesus living in me, but then you have moods. I'm up. I'm down. She offended me. I'm going to have a bad day. I'm going to have a bad week. I won't get over it. No, I'm going to have a bad month. When you got that on your face, don't share. I don't need it. All I'm going to do is pray for you. When you have that look on your face, what happened to your face, Patty? I want to pray for her. I don't want her feeling like that. You know what I'm saying? And people around us, when you're not in moods, guess what? You meet their needs. You help them. You lift them up. I'm just going to give you the verses. You write them down. I'm not going to read them all right now. We'll read them later. But I've given them to you many times, but I'm going to give them to you right now. Colossians 1:27. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look at verses 2 through 4. It says, set not your affections on things below, but on things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. You want to be in glory? That's Jesus. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Psalm 63:8, My soul followeth hard after God. That's what Tanner was trying to tell you earlier. You see, do you want God to show up here in a big way? Well, guess what? He shows up in a big way when you're not around. When it's just me and Him. When it's just Patty and Him. That's what she's told me, right? Yes? There was in the far past. Okay? Does He show up big time in your life? Sometimes? Okay. What I'm saying is, when we get together, because I hear it every day, almost from Rick and Glenn, Patty, Judy, about how God shows up. But see, for Him to show up big here, we here, all of us, or many of us, have to want Him. And we have to get delivered from the fear of man, where we quit worrying about what people think. And it's like, just get focused into God. And not just while they're singing the songs. We need to usher Him in whether the songs are happening or not. The songs are just there as a vehicle. See, I get excited more about the preaching than the singing. But I love the singing too. And I'm not talking about just because I do it. I'm talking about before I did it. I loved the preaching. I spoke about it as much as the preacher did while he was preaching. You know, out loud. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake, the same shall find it. You're looking for your life? You can't find it? You're looking in the wrong place. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Like a treasure hunt? Your life is hid with Christ in God. He's the treasure. You won't be let down. He's better than Publisher's Clearinghouse. John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. In verse 36, if the Son of God, Jesus Christ, shall set you free, ye shall be free for sure, indeed, in truth. No bow to doubt it. Folks, this is just a test. And you don't get to fail. You get to take it over again. You get to keep going because this is your life. See, I can't be with you all week. I can't even be with you every week. But Jesus can. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He cares about you. That guy that tells you He loves you, I don't know if He loves you, okay? If He's laying His life down, if He's thinking about you, if He's caring about you. But if He's trying to take from you, He doesn't love you. He loves Himself, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? But Jesus loves you whether you do right or not. Jesus doesn't love you because you do right. He doesn't love you more because you do better or because you give more money. He loves you 100% right now. He loves you for who you are when you know you're not doing right. He loves you. It breaks His heart. It makes Him cry. It hurts Him. Grieves down inside. But He keeps loving you. Unconditionally. And He's pursuing you. But He's the perfect Father. He knows what you need. And when you say the little thing, okay, I want Jesus. It's like He's gone, nah, you really don't. I'm not just going to rush in. He's like, I'm not desperate. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, what's that word? I'm thinking, codependent. Yeah, whatever. What's another way to say it? He's like, you say you want me, but do you really? Yeah, I want you. And He's like, nah, you don't really. I know the whole truth. You're only saying it. You just want me to make you feel better. But I know your heart. Your heart's not after me. Do you understand? What separates you from God? Jesus, this is your day. Thank you for giving us a test. to try us, to prove us, and what's really in us. And Lord, I just thank You that You love us. You keep pursuing us. You keep believing in us. And Lord, You're consistent and faithful. Thank You so much. And I thank You for everyone that's here, and I want You to just bless, draw each one of us, make alive, dance inside of us the truths that You want, that it would draw us to a place of living the life that would bless You, but that would also fulfill us. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.